Welcome to Treasures Old and New from ART. Hi, I'm Joy Jackson. I've been working hard on a recent crop of plays, and I've got some to present. Hashknife Hartley and Sleepy Stevens was a Western with a mystery twist. This one is our second version of Hanging at Willow Rock.
This is W.C. Tuttle's famous adventure story of Hashknife Hartley and Sleepy Stevens. From the pages of America's best-loved writer of Western tales comes Hashknife and Sleepy, roving heroes of the ageless West, starring Ken Leese as Hashknife Hartley and Dave Leese as Sleepy Stevens. Here now, filling in for the show's creator, W.C. Tuttle, is your ART announcer, Pat McNally. Ready to begin today's story called The Hanging at Willow Rock.
Howdy, folks. Well, Hashknife and Sleepy have been sent out by Bob Marsh, Secretary of the Cattlemen's Association, to find that well-known needle in the haystack. Only, in this case, instead of hay, it's sand. Thousands of acres that go to make up the ever-shifting carpet from the northeast section of Arizona. Night is fastly approaching, and as the cowboys ease their horses up and down a series of rolling white sand waves, Hashknife, tall, lean, and serious of face atop his big gray, and his partner, blue-eyed, grin-wrinkled Sleepy, astride his Apalachee. As usual, Sleepy registers the first of a long line of complaints.
Hashknife, do you mean to sit there and tell me that we got to find Jess Aaron and his sister, and all we got to go on is that they're somewheres in Arizona?
Well, Bob Marsh did say they were seen in the northeast corner of the state not long ago.
Oh, well, that's different, Hashknife. That narrows it down to about 15,000 square miles of shank-deep sand.
That's a fact, Sleepy. But I'd sure hate to see him lose that inheritance.
What inheritance?
The 2-foot-long sheets legal paper I got in my pocket, knothead. The one that Jess and Gene Aaron's got to sign.
Bob Marsh thinks we're just a couple of dad-blamed messenger boys. That's all we are.
No more than that. It seems that somebody might try to stop us from getting this paper signed. And from what Bob told me, that someone ain't above using a gun.
Are now entering Dust Town, Arizona. Population 752 people. This is a peaceful town, no horseplay or gunplay, by order of Sheriff Slim Regan.
You read pretty good, Sleepy.
I've studied some. You think we're going to find them two kids here in Dust Town, Hashknife?
Well, it's in the northeast section of the state, ain't it?
Yeah. But so is Silver Springs, Centerville, Fort Lewis, Four Rivers, and Dog Center. Oh, sorry, that's in Colorado.
Well, it's worth a look-see. Come on, we'll just come down this way a little bit.
Hey, Hashknife, look it. Riding up the street toward us.
Appears to be some kind of a lawman. Got a 10-star pinned to his vest.
Well, he should take to walking. He don't do too well atop that hay burner of his.
Oh, whoa, whoa, down now, horse. Hey, easy. Stand still. Easy does it. There. That's better.
Morning.
That's a wild-eyed goat you're riding there, Sheriff.
I'm not the sheriff. A deputy. This ain't a goat. It's a horse. I just don't ride too well is all. Why aren't you with Sheriff Regan, same as every other able-bodied man? Get on out there to Willow Rock.
Willow what?
Rock! Sheriff Regan's got a posse out there after them killers.
Killers?
2 strangers. They shot old Judge Beale to death in his bed about 4 hours ago. And like I said, Regan is after him right now. Be there myself, but the sheriff wanted me to stay at the office. Go on, you can get there before it gets dark.
Sheriff, have you ever heard of...
Deputy! Not sheriff. Collins by name. Call me that.
All right, Collins. What I want to know is if you ever heard of a fella named Jess Aaron. Has a kid sister, Jean, traveling with him.
Can't say as I have. I'm awful bad on names. I got two faults. Can't ride a horse, and awful bad with names. You're not going, eh?
Where?
Willow Rock.
Sorry, we ain't got time. But thanks for the trouble anyway.
Nah, no trouble. Now, if you was to have asked me the names of them two men what shot Judge Beal, I could have told you that right off.
I doubt we'll be running into them.
Well, if you should run into them, I'd advise you not to turn your back. One of them's called Hash Knife Hartley, and the other one's called Sleepy Stevens.
This has got to be the silliest dad blame thing I ever did hear. Out chasing ourselves? Why, it's like a loony feist dog chasing his tail.
Better keep your eye on the trail. Look up ahead there. Whoa, boy.
Whoa. What you make it out to be?
Appears to be a posse, maybe.
Then that must be Willow Rock.
Yeah, and if I ain't bad wrong, they're gathered under that tree to do some hanging.
You said that like you plan on stopping them, son.
It's dark enough for us to slip up on them. Hate to see the law dealt from the limb of a tree. Leaves too many questions without answers. Especially when the condemned are called Hash Knife Hartley and Sleepy Stevens.
Hurry up and get that rope strung. It'll be clear dark the rate you're going.
All set, Sheriff.
Good. Now, get them horses out here under the tree.
Hey, get out there. Whoa.
Now, make sure you get the slack out of the ropes. Yeah, that's good. Hold them steady.
Oh. Hold them horses. I don't want to pull the trigger again unless I have to. Cut them ropes and get them two down off them horses, Sleepy.
Right.
What's the meaning of this? Who are you?
I'm a slight bit confused about that myself, Sheriff. But I think I'm Hash Knife Hartley, and my partner over there with your two near-hung prisoners is Sleepy Stevens.
Yeah, you're about to hang the wrong names, Bo Diddley. Easy now.
I ain't interested in your names or why these two took them. They killed my best friend. They're going to swing for it.
What's the matter with the law court, Sheriff?
Hey, Hash Knife.
Hold it a minute, Sleepy. Well, Sheriff?
Courts don't run too well without a judge. He's dead, Stevens.
I'm Hartley.
But Hash Knife, there's something you ought to
in
know.
In a minute, Sleepy.
Well, all right, Hash Knife, but I thought you ought to know that one of them two I just cut down says he's Jess Aaron.
Jess Aaron?
And the one that's called Sleepy Stevens is a girl.
If anybody would have told me that I'd be wasting a trial for Judge Beal's killers, I'd have called him loco. Can't hang a girl, though. That'll teach me to do my stringing. Well, what do you two want?
Sheriff, you mind if me and my silent partner here have a talk with the prisoners?
Talk all you want. Just don't bother me.
I don't think he likes us, Hash Knife.
He's just put out because we stopped that party at Willow Rock, Sleepy.
Can you imagine that?
Can I imagine what?
A gal passing as me?
Tell the truth, cowboy, I can't. Come on, that's what we got to find out.
There they are in the back cell, Hash Knife. Sure a pretty little thing, ain't she? To think she stuffed all that honey blonde hair up into a hat just to look like me.
She'd been closer to it if she pulled it down over her eyes.
That ain't nice, Hash Knife. All I ever get is insults.
Mr. Hartley.
Howdy, ma'am. Jess.
Hey, how are you?
How you doing?
Mr. Hartley, we're sorry about taking your names like we did.
Oh, that's all right, ma'am.
We just wondered how you come to pick them.
Mr. Hartley, me and my sis here have been pretty hard-pressed for money lately. Been roaming around the country, working where we could, just waiting for Dad's estate to get cleared so as we could move on back to Flagstaff. That's where Dad has his ranch, or did have before he died.
Mr. Mason told us to...
He was Dad's lawyer in Flagstaff before he... moved here to Dusttown.
He sent for us. Said it was something about the inheritance papers.
We got here as fast as we could.
How does Judge Beal fit in the list?
He was Dad's lawyer, too. He and Mason came here after Dad's death. Beal became a judge.
All these law book boys handling your daddy's business. It must have been worth a pretty penny.
In the neighborhood of $500,000.
Dollars?
Dollars.
Hoo-wee! That's a pretty good neighborhood.
Why'd they jump you for the killing?
Well, me and Gene camped outside of town, sent word in to Mason that we was here. About an hour later, he rode out and told us what had happened to the judge. He said the posse was coming, that we mustn't give him our real names. He said he'd handle everything.
He said for me to dress like a man and for us to use your names, that you were in the territory.
Did this Mason fella happen to tell you why we was in the territory?
He didn't have time to tell us much of anything, Mr. Hartley. Then the posse rode in and, well, you know the rest.
I got about 4 copies of 2-foot-long inheritance papers in my pocket for you and Miss Jean here to sign.
Are those the papers Mr. Mason told us about?
But when did you...
Go on, show it to him, Hash Knife.
Didn't know it was worth $500,000 or I'd kept my pocket buttoned all this time. Now, where is that piece of indelible pencil? Oh, here it is. On the top line, Miss Jean, Bob Marsh called the papers distributee receipts.
Hash Knife.
And with your name, Jess, it'll be signed, sealed, and ready to be delivered.
All right.
Hash Knife, I thought Bob Marsh said we might run into trouble getting this thing signed.
A man can be wrong once, can't he, Sleepy?
Well, yeah,
but... Hit the floor, all of you.
I'm down. Hooey, that's close enough.
You two all right in there?
I think so.
Jess?
Yes, Hash Knife?
Toss me them papers out here.
But I didn't get it signed, Hash Knife.
Never mind that for now. You just keep your heads down. Come on, Sleepy. I guess Bob Marsh is right after all.
This has got to be the hottest in the day, darkest in the night town I've ever seen. Can you see anything, Hash Knife?
I can't even see you.
Where are we headed now, Hash Knife?
Late Judge Beal's office.
You think his being killed is tied up with that legal paper you're carrying?
That's what I got to find out, Sleepy.
There's the judge's office over there, Hash Knife.
Light in the window, too. Come on. Go ahead, Sleepy. Knock.
I do all the work.
Howdy. Pete Peters' name. What can I do for you?
Mr. Peters, did you work for Judge Beal?
Oh, not bragging, mind you, you know, but I've been with him, which I should say, I was with him for 6 years. Been his accountant, court recorder, ever since he came from Flagstaff, got to be a judge.
Did the judge keep any kind of personal records, diaries, or that sort of thing?
Let me see, I'd have known about it. It'd been his court recorder for 6 years.
Ever since he come from Flagstaff.
Yeah.
Mr. Peters, I hate to rush you, but we ain't got much time.
Yeah.
Yeah, what?
Yeah, he did keep a diary.
Could we take a look at it?
Oh, wait. Well, I mean, if it's a case of justice. It is a case of justice, isn't it?
We hope so.
Only one thing. I don't know where it is.
You mean it's lost?
No, heaven forbid. I mean, it's either in the stack of papers there by the window or back in the storeroom, and I'm packing all his belongings. He won't be back, you know.
In that case, me and my partner will sort of scrounge around and see if we can find it.
Sure, help yourself.
Sleepy, you check that pile there, and I'll take a look in the storeroom.
Yeah, it's right through that door there.
Sure, a bunch of this stuff ain't there.
Well, you know, judging ain't all hanging.
Myers versus Sullivan. Sullivan versus Myers.
Now, there was a case. Myers' sheep ate up all of Sullivan's grazing grass. Or was it Sullivan ate Myers' sheep? Anyway.
That's come from the storeroom. Come on. Hash Knife, where are you?
Oh, I got a match. Here.
Hash. Lovely dove. Here he is on the floor. Hash Knife.
Oh, my head.
Oh, say, that's a nasty bump you got there, mister.
He's a nasty man. Where is he?
Who?
The fellow that clubbed me.
I thought you fell.
I did when he hit me. Oh, well, I guess it didn't break any bones or anything. I still can... Uh-oh.
What's the matter, Hash Knife?
I lost a button off of my shirt pocket.
Now, what kind of crazy talk is that?
Off the pocket the inheritance papers was in, Sleepy.
Was in?
Was, cowboy. They're gone.
You what?
Just what he said, Mason. Somebody conked Hash Knife on the coconut and took off with the papers.
But why didn't you tell me you were carrying it?
2 reasons, Mason. First, I didn't know where you were. And second, I wasn't sure if it was any of your business.
Whose business would it be? I'm their lawyer.
That's what we heard.
Mason. I got to talk to you.
Howdy, Sheriff.
Hartley, what are you doing here? I thought...
You thought I what, Sheriff?
Well, Pete Peters told me somebody hit you.
Tell you anything else?
Yeah. He said they took some sort of important paper from you.
Not some sort, Bo Diddley. $500,000 worth of paper.
You stop calling me Bo Diddley. $500,000?
More or less.
Sheriff, I insist.
Hold on, Mason. How'd a tall, drawn-out saddle tramp the likes of you come to be carrying a stake worth that much?
Sheriff, you ever hear of Bob Marsh, Secretary of the Cattlemen's Association?
Some? Why?
Well, Bob asked me and my amazed-looking partner here to deliver a paper for the signatures of the rightful heirs. By name, just Aaron and his sister Jean.
You jailed a couple of millionaires, Bo did. I mean, Sheriff.
Look, Stevens.
I'm Hartley.
Well, whatever your name is, you're responsible for those papers being delivered to my clients.
And signed, Mason.
Now, wait a minute. You're all forgetting a small detail. Those two are being held on a murder charge.
They won't be for long, Sheriff. In case you should want us, me and my partner here will be camped out just this side of Willow Rock. Come on, Sleepy.
Right behind you.
And, Sheriff, before I forget it, Pete Peters told me you was over at the judge's just before we got here tonight.
So, what if I was?
Nothing. Just wish you'd tell me things like that. Makes my job a lot easier. Come on, Sleepy.
Nothing like fixing to sleep out on the cold, hard ground, is there, son? Got nice, soft hotel beds beat a country mile. Well, at least I'm going to eat. More beans, Hash Knife?
No thanks.
To think all we set out to do was get a couple of names wrote on a piece of paper. Hash Knife, we could find trouble in an over-deserted section of Death Valley.
We ain't done bad this time, Sleepy.
Oh, not a bit. Just one judge dead, a sheriff set on hanging two innocent people, and $500,000 worth of paper stole. That ain't counting that sock on the head you got.
Yeah.
Of course, it ain't as bad as it could be.
Sleepy.
Huh?
Keep eating those beans. We got sneaking company over to the right of the horses.
Here we go again.
Keep talking like nothing's wrong.
All right. More beans, Hash Knife?
Yeah. I'll try one blast on them. Screamed like a woman. Come on, Sleepy.
Coming. Dropped the dadgum beans.
You, Miss Jean. Sorry, man. I didn't see it was you.
How come you to be creeping around out here in the dark, Miss Jean?
After you were there, Mason came in again. When he left, I found the cell door was unlocked.
What a way to run a jail.
Where's Jess?
He stayed behind. Told me to find you.
But how did you find us, ma'am?
Mason told me.
Just what I thought. Come on, Sleepy. We're going to jail.
Spill my supper, Beans. No sleep. I'm telling you, Hash Knife, if I ever...
Eat dust!
Oh!
Sorry to push you down so rough, Gene.
This has got to be the out-shootingest bunch I ever did see.
Sleepy, you wait till I work around to the left some, then throw a couple of rounds out there.
Right. Keep your head down, son.
Don't worry about that. Okay, Sleepy. Hey, Sleepy, come here.
Come on, Miss Jean. Where are you, son?
Over here to the left a bit.
Yeah, I see you now. What's up, Hash Knife?
Look behind that rock there, Sleepy.
Lovely dove. That there's Sheriff Regan.
Is he dead?
And gone.
Here's the jail and the end of the line.
Whoa.
Ooh.
Hash Knife, I've been riding with you for a long time now, but this time out, you got me so confused, I can't even sit my horse straight.
Miss Jean, you stay up on the sheriff's horse. Me and Sleepy will be back here directly.
All right, Hash Knife.
Come on, Sleepy.
When all them wheels in your head start turning, you don't answer nobody till the noise stops. Light in the window of the sheriff's office, Hash Knife.
Yeah, I see it.
Hey, you two there. Hold on a minute.
Hey, Hash Knife, it's the Dodo deputy.
Well, kind of gives it my wind running that away. Well, you find her?
Find who?
Why, the girl.
Is she lost?
Lost? She broke out, clean as a whistle. I can't find her nowheres.
Well, if you was to look over there at the jail hitching rack, I think... Come on, Sleepy, that came from the jail.
Behind you. Dad blame door's locked.
Back up, Sleepy.
Once more, Hash Knife. Dad got it. Hash Knife, on the floor there. It's Jess.
Here, give me a hand, Sleepy. Roll him over easy like. Easy.
I got him.
Is he hurt bad?
Not no more, Ian.
No.
Never knew what hit him.
Hey, Hash Knife, look at this.
Single barrel shotgun. 16-gauge.
Sure got the job done, didn't it?
Piece of paper there on the floor. Some writing on it.
Let me have a look at that.
Here you are, son.
Appears to be a note. Says, this is to certify that I, Jess Aaron, did willfully take my own life.
Lovely dove.
What? There's more. Tell Gene that I'm sorry. I shot Judge Beal because he was trying to tie up our inheritance like he did after Dad's death. Sheriff Reagan tried to cut himself in and found out with Hartley and Stevens out of the way he could get me off for killing the judge. But things didn't work out that way. Goodbye. Signed, Jess Aaron.
Hash Knife, Sleepy, I had to know what was going
Miss
on.
Miss Jean, don't come in.
Jess? Jess!
Oh, poor kid.
Oh, Jess! What have they done to you? Jess!
Collins, you better take Miss Jean into the sheriff's office.
Jess!
Come on, Miss Jean. We'll take care of Jess.
Jess! Oh, Jess!
Ah, come with me, man.
Jess!
Can't stand to see a woman cry that way.
Hit her pretty hard. Come on, Sleepy. Let's get Jess out of here. You take his legs there.
Sure beats all how little shell the likes of that can end a man's life.
What'd you say, Sleepy?
I said it beats all how a little 16-gauge shell like that one on the floor can kill a man.
Let me see that, Sleepy.
All right, but there you are.
That's what I thought.
That's what you thought what?
Break that shotgun and take a look in the chamber, Sleepy.
Just as you say, Hash Knife. Nothing in it.
That's what I mean.
There you go again. Always thinking and not telling.
Let's get out of here, Sleepy. We gotta find some way to...
Hey, what's going on in here? Deputy Collins said that... Jess Aaron? Is he dead?
I'm afraid so, Mason.
Oh, that's terrible.
It is for you, anyway.
Me? If you mean losing a client?
Mason, for a smart lawyer, you make an awful lot of mistakes.
Now, wait a minute, Hartley.
No, you wait. Jess Aaron didn't kill herself like the note here says. Couldn't have. See this empty shell? It was ejected out of the gun after it had been fired. That couldn't happen unless Jess opened it after he blew his head half off.
Don't reach, Bo Diddley. Mine's out and cocked.
Smart man, aren't you, Hartley?
Smart enough to know that you let the girl loose so y'all get Jess alone. Then you held that scattered gun to his head and made him write a note and sign the inheritance paper. But before that, you shot Sheriff Reagan and brought his body out to where we was camped. Took a couple of shots at us so we'd throw some lead and think we'd killed him.
Well, I'll be tied to a stump and stomped.
That's a good story, Hartley.
Oh, it gets better. You shot Judge Beal because he was trying to legal his way into the $500,000 you was trying to steal.
And more?
A lot more. Like you telling Jess and Jean to use our names. You must have knowed we was coming. And why? Watch him, Sleepy.
I told you it was cocked, Mason.
All right, you win. What's your price?
Price?
Every man has his price. What's yours?
Well, first I'll take that inheritance paper you stole after clubbing me.
All right, here.
Uh-huh. How much is this worth again, Mason?
$500,000.
$500,000. Oh.
Hash Knife, you knocked him cold. What for?
Well, he gave me $500,000, Sleepy. That was his change. Whoa, hold still.
Stand still, Appalachie.
Collins, you see to it that Miss Jean gets on back to Flagstaff as soon as she's ready to leave.
Oh, I will, Mr. Hartley. Of course, I'll have to take her in the buckboard.
We know. We saw you ride.
Hash Knife, Sleepy, you're not leaving, are you?
Yes, ma'am. Our war bag's been unpacked too long as it is.
What my grinning friend here means, ma'am, is that we got to beat the sun over that purple rimrock yonder so as to be headed down the other side come morning. So long, Miss Jean. You too, Collins.
Bye, Hashknife. Sleepy. Goodbye.
Watch them horses, Collins.
Bye, boys.
Bye.
Ha! Yeah!
And so, Hashknife and Sleepy head out of Dusttown in the direction of the purple rimrock that Hashknife had pointed out. But about halfway there, the two men pull their horses up to a stop.
Ooh!
Hold on.
Well, there she is, Sleepy.
There who is?
Willow Rock, Knothead. The place where it all started.
Oh, yeah. Sure beats all how folks take to killing and tearing up the country where dollars are concerned, don't it, Hashknife?
Half a million's a lot of dollars, Sleepy.
Maybe so, but it ain't worth three men's lives, no matter how many times you count it.
Sleepy.
Yeah?
Have you got a half a dollar on you?
You know better than that, son. I ain't got a red cent on me.
Neither have I. Come on, giddy up!
Like as not, they'll reach that rimrock by sundown. And if I know those two, they'll be in and out of trouble before they've gone 100 miles down the other side. So plan to be with us next week at this very same time, and I'll tell you what happened. Until then, this is Pat McNally for W.C. Tuttle saying, adios, amigos.
You have been listening to an American Radio Theater recreation of a lost show. W.C. Tuttle's Hashknife Hartley and Sleepy Stevens. This episode, The Hanging at Willow Rock, was originally aired on the Mutual Broadcasting System on Monday, April 2nd, 1951, with Tom Hargis directing Frank Martin as Hashknife Hartley and Barton Yarbrough as Sleepy Stevens. Today's performance was directed by Dave Leese and produced by Joy Jackson. In our cast, you heard Ken Leese as Hashknife Hartley, Dave Leese as Sleepy Stevens, Dean Moody as Deputy Collins, Chuck Royalty as Sheriff Regan, Dr. Bob Perks as the Posse member, Karen Leese as Jean Aaron, Nick Richa as Jess Aaron, Ivan Curry as Pete Peters, Mark Whitworth as Mason, Pat McNally in W.C. Tuttle's role as the narrator, and other cast members providing additional voices. Engineering by Ron Ailey and playback by Mary Moore Companion. Live sound effects were performed by Greg Porter, Joy Jackson, and Marilyn Wilt. I'm your announcer, Dan Schindler, whom you also heard as Gunshots. And this is ART, American Radio Theater.
Here's a word from our sponsor.
Hello, I'm Sam Sprout for American Radio Theater. Today I am talking to Rich Detail, ART's resident general purpose handler. Rich, give us an overview of ART.
Sure, Sam. As you can see on the company tree, over 127 distinct entities combine to produce each and every unique production of American Radio Theater. Sounds extreme, doesn't it? Well, if you were trying to get a camel to expectorate on cue, you might be glad that ART had an experienced camel wrangler on retainer.
Had?
Freak accident. And we're looking for a replacement. In point of fact, ART has everything from a team of cheese inspectors to an in-house pun mechanic. What is the sum total of all this highly over-specialized talent? Hear for yourself at www.AmericanRadioTheater.org.
You sound just like a commercial.
Who do you think writes them? Now stop interrupting me, Sam. Just click on podcasts and prepare yourself for a parallel, paranormal, parasitic piece of propaganda, or just settle for a gripping audio play. That's www.AmericanRadioTheater.org. And remember, if you're not part of the solution, you're part of the precipitate.
That's kind of an irrelevant non sequitur, isn't it?
Not if you're part of the precipitate.
Ah. Well, thank you, Rich Detail, for more factoids than a person can be expected to swallow. You're not doing the ART handshake.
Not anymore. I'd give my left foot for a right hand.
Hey, listen. let's listen to some music from the days of old-time radio.
Here's that band again.
Yeah!
Yes, it's dance music by Dick Juergens and his famous orchestra, coming to you direct from the glamorous air-conditioned Aragon Ballroom on Chicago's North Side, Lawrence Avenue near Broadway, famous coast-to-coast for the finest in music and dancing, always. And now your host, Dick Juergens himself, with his opening number for this evening.
Thank you very much, Hal Stark, and hi, ladies and gentlemen. It's Dick Juergens from Chicago's famous Aragon. Our first song tonight, folks, is that popular rhythm tune, I Love the Girl. Al Galani tells you all about it. Okay, Al? Girl, though she grieves me and she leaves me in a whirl, she breaks dates and I'm left alone. Then I tell her she's on her own, but soon I break my neck to get her on the phone. 'Cause I love the girls, I love the miss. She's the only gal with a timely kiss. There's none like her in these here parts. She's upset lots of apple carts. 'Cause when she kisses you, the chain reaction starts. Oh, I love the girl. Dope, where her future is concerned, there is no hope. What ambitions that gal enjoys, here's the latest with which she toys, to be a lady wrestler who just wrestles boys. But I love the girl, I love that dame. From the start of far, my heart she stick to claim. Other girls may admire me, movie stars may desire me, but she's the main character in my diary. 'Cause I love the girl.
I Love the Girl, Dick Juergens and his famous orchestra from Chicago's Aragon Ballroom. Ray McIntosh now to change the pace with the sentimental ballad, Roses.
Roses, I send you roses. Tender blossoming discloses, just like my arms, they'll open wide. You'll see my heart inside. Please, dear, embrace the rose. Until I come to you, and when the long day closes, our our spark of love will burst to flame, and put the red, red roses to shame. The roses until I come to you, and when the long day closes, our spark of love will burst to flame.
Something now in a lighter mood with Dick Jurgens in the orchestra, featuring Al Galanti in the vocal spotlight and Under a Polka Dot Sky.
Time. We'll go strolling in the moonlight under a polka dot sky. There'll be a screaming and whine, there'll be a kiss and a sigh, as we go strolling in the moonlight under a polka dot sky. We'll hear the nightingales singing, they've been rehearsing since noon. Moonbeams are gonna be swinging, swinging to a polka all around the moon. So you wear your polka dot dress, I'll wear my polka dot tie. We'll go strolling in the moonlight under a polka dot sky. Nightingales singing, they've been rehearsing since noon. Moonbeams are gonna be swinging, swinging to a polka all around the moon. So you wear your polka dot dress, I wear my polka dot tie, and we'll go strolling in the moonlight under a polka dot sky.
Now here's a medley of tunes for you with Dick Jurgens and his orchestra. A medley of two short tunes and a fine old-timer from the middle 20s. But meantime, let's open with If I Loved You. remember this charming lady? Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to the dance music of Dick Juergens and his famous orchestra, which is coming to you direct from the beautiful air-conditioned Aragon Ballroom on Chicago's North Side, Lawrence Avenue near Broadway, with the compliments of William Karsas. It's always cool at the Aragon. Here's a bit of contrast for you with Dick Juergens in the orchestra, Al Galanti in the vocal department, Mississippi Mud.
The sun goes down, the time goes on, the people gather round and the organ's gone.
Hey, hey, Uncle Dud, it's street beach meet on the Mississippi Mud. It's street beach meet on the Mississippi Mud.
Wanna dance, do they do, lonely how I'm telling you. They don't need no bench, they can die by clapping their hands. Cause the slappy has gone to and on the gut when the beep beat to beat on the Mississippi Mud. Lordy, how they play it, how they sway it. Joy, that music thrills me. Boy, it simply kills me. When the sun goes down, the tide goes on, the people gather round and all begin to shout.
Hey, hey, Uncle Dud, it's street to beach feet on the Mississippi Mud. It's street to beach feet on the Mississippi Mud.
What a dance, do they do, lonely how I'm telling you. They don't need no bench, they can die by clapping her hands. Just as happy as a cartoon went on the gun when the beep beat to beat on the Mississippi Mud.
Uncle Jim. But do da 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 do 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 do. Bop, 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 boop-a-doo-dee-bee-boop. Bop says the beat is upbeat, the fast is slow. When the sun goes down, the tide goes on, the people gather round and all get shot.
Hey, hey, Uncle Dud, it's straight to Beach Street on the Mississippi Mud. It's straight to Beach Street on the Mississippi Mud.
What a dance, do they do? Lordy, how I'm telling you, they don't need no band. They can drive by clapping her hands, just as happy as a cartoon. When on the guns, when the beat beats the beat, on the Mississippi Mud.
Little Mississippi Mud from Dick Jurgens and the orchestra. Now here's the Dick Jurgens arrangement of one of the top tunes of the day, at least in popularity. It's nobly done by Ray McIntosh. Mona Lisa.
Mona Lisa, men have named you. You're so like the lady with a mystic smile. Is it only 'cause you're lonely they have blamed you for that Mona Lisa strangeness in your smile? Do you smile to tempt a lover, Mona Lisa? Or is this your way to hide a broken heart? Many dreams have been brought to your doorstep. They just fly there and they die there. Are you warm? Are you real, Mona Lisa? Or just a cold and lonely, lovely work of art? Tempt a lover, Mona Lisa? Or is this your way to hide a broken heart? Many dreams have been brought to your doorstep. They just lie there and they die there. Are you warm? Are you real, Mona Lisa? Just a cold and lonely, lovely work of art. Mona Lisa.
From Chicago's famed Aragon Ballroom, ladies and gentlemen, WBBM is presenting, for your late evening listening or dancing pleasure, the music of Dick Jurgens and his orchestra. Now here's one on the instrumental side again, Josephine. Thank you. is a gay little tune making the rounds these days. Al Galanti joins the gay mood as we hear Hope to Do. Yes, indeed, and now it's medley time from the Aragon Ballroom. Dick Juergens and the orchestra with a medley of tunes designed to bring back a pleasant memory for you. Here to open our medley is Bewitched. Dick Juergens takes you on a sentimental journey. We'll be right back.
that's all the time I've got for today. Please stop by our website, www.AmericanRadioTheater.org, for more of our podcasts. We put up a new one every month. Hey, see you next time.